contract or a bridge.
So, Rav Hossa, what I'd like to discuss with you today is Sefer Dvarim. We also call it Mishneh Torah. We'll see sources for that that date back, way back. So what is unique about the fifth of the five books of Moses, the five Chumashim? Why does it have a status and a name unto itself called Mishneh Torah? And what we want to get to today, but we'll have to build up to it, is a dialogue that took place about two centuries and change ago between the Dubna Magid and his Rebbe, the Vilna Gaon. And they really debated the nature of Sefer Dvarim. So let's begin with the Gemara in Bava Basra. There's an Agadita in Bava Basra that deals with the authorship of all the various Sfarim in Tanakh. And there it says that Moshe Kosav Sifro Uparshas Bilam. So that even though, you know, when you read Parshas Balak, you see that Bilam is the one who's talking as a Navi, but that itself doesn't give the Nevuah of Bilam the status of Torah. It only becomes Torah because Moshe Rabbeinu writes it down. And we know that this is one of the fundamentals of our belief that the special status of the Torah is a result of the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictates the Torah to Moshe, and Moshe commits the Torah to writing. That's Torah Shebichtav. And even though, in this case, the original word of God came through Bilam as prophecy, but nevertheless, it only becomes part of a Sefer Torah because Moshe Rabbeinu hears it from Hashem. Hashem dictates it to him. So again, it's a two-stage process. Stage number one is Hashem speaks to Bilam in a Nevuah. That Nevuah does not have the status of Torah, at least not just yet. At what point does it have the status of Torah? That's only when Moshe Rabbeinu receives, like a scribe, a dictation from Hashem and writes it in the Sefer Torah. Now, on the Agadot, as you know, there's a famous work called the Ein Yaakov. And in the Ein Yaakov, one of the various commentaries is called the Iyun Yaakov. He was a German Jew. He lived about two centuries ago. So he writes, V'nira didas Rashi, d'ha de Moshe kosav sifro, hainu sefer Mishneh Torah. Wow. In other words, Rashi is understanding that this comment in the Gemara of Moshe kosav sifro is a reference specifically to Mishneh Torah. And ze nikra al shem Moshe. And that's called Toras Moshe. So, for example, in Tanakh we find the phrase Zichru Toras Moshe. Toras Moshe is a reference to the fifth of the five books of the Chumash. Mashenkin Shar HaTorah, the rest of the Torah, Kiduma Alpayim Shana. It was already given as and created 2,000 years earlier, way before Moshe. So the only part of the Torah that was Torah's Moshe, in the sense that it didn't predate Moshe, is only the fifth book, and that's called Mishneh Torah. And that's what the Gemara here in Bava Basra, according to Rashi, is referring to when it says Moshe Kosav Sifra. Ukir Mesayim Sefer Bamidbar. And if you look at the last pasuk in Bamidbar, it says Eile HaMitzvos VeHamishpotim Asher Tziva Hashem Biyad Moshe. That these are the mitzvos and the statutes which God commanded through Moshe. Right? U Mishneh Torah Kosuv Eila Dvar Mesher Dibur Moshe. So if we compare the last pasuk in Sefer Bamidbar to the first pasuk in Sefer Dvarim, so we have an interesting comparison. At the end of Sefer Bamidbar, we're talking about HaMishpat Mashar Tziva Hashem. So this is the end, the culmination of everything that Hashem commanded, right? That's at the end of Bamidbar. Now we make a transition to the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, and it says Eile HaDvar Masher Diber Moshe. It doesn't say Asher Tziva Hashem Biad Moshe as it does at the end of Bamidbar. Why is there a sharp transition, a change in the language? Why is the end of Bamidbar HaDvar Masher Tziva Hashem Biad Moshe? So the emphasis here is on the subject on God, and God is giving the tzivui through Moshe, whereas when we get to Mishneh Torah, when we get to Sefer Dvarim, it's Eile HaDvarim Asher Diber Moshe. It's not Hashem Viyad Moshe, but Diber Moshe. And the answer is based on this Rashi, because as opposed to the first four Sfarim, the first four Chumashim, which were given way before Moshe Rabbeinu, 2,000 years it was before Moshe was created. However, in the case of Mishneh Torah, that's Zichru Torah Moshe. That's the Torah of Moshe Rabbeinu. Why? Because Moshe Rabbeinu gives us Sefer Dvarim. Okay, now this is
Ein Yaakov is in the Ein Yaakov.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't have the Ein Yaakov with me today. I just wanted to focus on this
Ein
Yaakov, right. So now maybe we can shed a light on this whole question about what the status of Sefer Dvarim. Shalom Aleichem to those who just joined us. I'm sorry I started at 11, I didn't know you were here. There's a Tosis in Gittin, which is a Pella. I mean, something that we can't really understand, but we'll try to do the best we can. You know that in a Get, we write 12 Shitin, 12 lines. And Rabbeinu Tam says that that reflects the gematria of the word Get, because you have a Gimel and a Tes, so you get 12. And then he says that one of the other Balei Tosis, the Re, heard in the name of Rav Haigon, in the name of Rav Sajigon, Rav Sajigon was one of the early of the Gonim, that Mishum Dichsiv, since it says Sefer Krisus Kishir Yudbeis Shitin Hamafsikin Bein Arba Chumshei Sefer Torah. When the Torah describes a get, it doesn't say the word get. If you look at Parshas Ki Teitzei, the get is described as a Sefer Krisus. Now the word Sefer usually means ha-sefer. Ha-sefer means a sefer Torah. So there's an illusion that a get is sort of like a sefer Torah. Now what's the similarity between the get and the sefer Torah? And the answer is that if you take a look at the sefer Torah, you will find that there are, in other words, when we end one Sefer, let's say, for example, Bereishis ends, so we don't immediately write Sefer Shmos. There's got to be three lines that are empty, three empty lines that separate one Sefer from the other. So how do you get to the number 12? So he says if you take 3 and you multiply it by 4, you get 12. In other words, on 4 occasions, we have a hefsek of 3 lines. So far, you with me? The math doesn't work out. I'll tell you why. Okay, I'm going to ask you to help me out here because I don't have a blackboard. Okay, so every time I finish my sentence, you add the number 3. Okay, the first time you're going to just say the number 3. Okay, so we're Bereishis Shmos. I don't hear any.
Second.
Three. Okay. Got three. Three. The three lines so between Bereishis. Okay. Three. Shmos Vayikra.
Six.
Okay, I wanted to hear the number 6 then. Okay. Vayikra Bamidbar.
Nine.
And Bamidbar Dvarim.
12.
Correct? So he says the following, that where does the number 12 come from in a get, that we have to have 12 lines in a get? It's because the get is called in the Torah's language Sefer Krisus. Correct? Okay. Now he says the following, that there's another opinion that says that between each chumash there are 4 lines, arba shitin. Okay, so let's go over the exercise one more time. Bereishis Shmos,
4.
Shmos Vayikra,
8.
Vayikra Bamidbar, 12. Now, what happened to the 4 lines between Bamidbar and Dvarim? Says Tosfos, the Amrinan b'Perik b'Bobabas, which it's Tzorach Laniach Arba Shitin, Bein Kol Sefer v'Sefer. 3 Shitim is not enough. You need 4 lines between each Sefer. No, but what about then the last 4 lines that separate Bamidbar and Dvarim? That's going to mess up the whole calculation. That's going to jack it up from 12 to 16. That's not good. The magic number here is 12. So, according to Rabbeinu Tam, it's not a question because Get is 12. Gimel. tes. But according to Rav Sadia Gaon, the 12 comes from the lines, the empty lines that separate one chumash from the other. That's the sefer krisis. So he answers the hefsek shebein vayidaber lemishnah Torah. Vayidaber is the end of sefer Bamidbar. To the beginning of Sefer Dvarim, which he calls Mishneh Torah, lo chashiv. That's not to be included in the calculation. Why? She'eino ela chozer v'shone mashal amala. Because anything that we get in Sefer Dvarim, we've already gotten where? In the first four svarim. Now this, Rabosa, is the most difficult line in any Tosis in Shas, because it's absolutely not true. And I'll prove it to you from two sources. The first is Rav Shimshon Fal Hirsch. He does a fascinating piece of research. And you'll see this in number 4 on your page. He says that in the book of Dvarim, what we call Mishneh Torah, there are 100 mitzvahs. And he says that 70 out of 100 are completely new. Only 30 are a repeat. And if you have any doubt, he says, I'm going to go through the entire list one by one. We don't have time to do that now. That would take us about an hour. But just to give you a sense of how much research Rav Shimshon Hirsch put into this, he starts by going through the first 70, and then he goes through the next 30. Again, it's not in that sequence. But all told, he says, there are 100 mitzvahs. So let's just read a few lines here in Rav Hirsch. He says, of the just over 100 laws that are contained in this book, this is his introduction to Sefer Dvarim, he says more than 70 of them are completely new and are not contained in any of the previous Chumashim. And then he goes on to list them. Do you see that list, Rabosa? It's a very, very long, complicated list here. And then he goes on and he says, in the next paragraph, on the other hand, and then he gives you the list of laws that apparently are repetitious. And he says, we have to appreciate this tendency of Sefer Dvarim, the fifth of the Chumashim, that all of a sudden we repeat that which we got, at least 30 out of 70, we already got in the first four Chumashim, and we have to find out, we have to analyze in each of these 30 cases, why the Torah wanted to repeat it. And in some cases, the Moshe Rabbeinu felt that we were weak and we needed extra chizuk. In other cases, he wanted to add certain minute details. So he says, if we take this all together, we believe we are not in error if we see in the last book a compendium of those laws which were necessary for the authorities as well as for every individual, the people, to realize just now. Okay. This is a brilliant thesis of Rav Hirsch, and again, it would require hours and hours of research to see if we agree with his thesis. His thesis is that Moshe Rabbeinu and Bnei Yisrael are on the threshold of entering into Eretz Yisrael, and although the mitzvos apply even in the Midbar, there are certain mitzvos, because they reflect on the community as a whole, their communal obligations, like setting up a king and so forth and so on, those obligations only apply when we enter into the land. Now the 30 mitzvos which we've already gotten in the previous four and are now being repeated in the Mishneh Torah, and he says that Mishneh Torah indicates repetition, it doesn't mean that it's an absolute repetition. It means that even though it's not for the first time that we see this law, but nevertheless it's a law that's absolutely necessary and is embellished and takes on new meaning as we enter into the land. So there was a deliberate calculation on the part of Moshe Rabbeinu, which mitzvos have to be repeated in Sefer Dvarim, because they are mitzvos that apply when we cross the Jordan and enter into the land, and which mitzvos were never given because they would only apply, not as individuals, but for the authorities that represent the community in Eretz Yisrael. What we call a Chovas Tzibur or a Chiyuv Bezdin, a Chiyuv Sanhedrin. So this is fascinating. He says here on the bottom right, that we'll just finish up Rav Hirsch and then go on to Rav Moshe Feinstein, he says that we shouldn't take this to mean, when we call it Mishneh Torah, that it's actually a repetition of the laws that are already contained in the previous four Chumashim. We have seen that a far greater number of the laws which appear in this Sefer, in Mishneh Torah, are being given for the first time. But rather, this name, repetition, right, Mishnah, can, and here we're going on to the top left if you have the text, can only be fitting, meaning it's appropriate, as much as this book gives us information on the repetition and the explanation of the whole of the Torah, which Moshe concluded were necessary as he left, or as he reached the apex of his career, and he terminates his career. And these are the books that these are the laws which Moshe Rabbeinu specifically honed in on and pointed out, singly point them out, because they need a repetition at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's life as the people are about to enter into Eretz Yisrael. So again, if we go back to Tosus says that the four lines that separate Bamidbar and Dvarim are irrelevant, not to be calculated to add to 12 and get up to number 16, because there's nothing here but a repetition of what we already know. That is absolutely not true. In fact, even what Rav Hirsch says is absolutely not true. Because if you take a look at Rav Moshe Feinstein, he has a totally different calculation. And he says the following. This is his commentary on Masechta Gittin, where that Tosis that we saw earlier appears. And he says that where Tosis writes that Eino Choz V'Shona Mashal Amala, that there's nothing here that's new in Sefer Dvarim, Tamua Ma'ot. Very difficult to understand that Tosis. Sharei Ika B'Mishnah Torah Shtemeos Mitzvos Shalom Nizkeru B'Dalin Chumash V'Rishonim. In other words, whereas Rav Hirsch calculates only 70 new mitzvahs in Sefer Dvarim, Rav Moshe Feinstein calculates 200 new mitzvahs in Sefer Dvarim that don't appear. Now we only have 300. We only have 613. 200 is almost a third. You know, like 33% of the Torah, of the mitzvahs of Torah given in Sefer Dvarim. V'gam heim ha'ikrim shebechayim b'chol zman, amongst the mitzvahs that are incorporated in Sefer Dvarim are the daily mitzvahs that are so, you know, profound or so primary. Like for example, Kriyat Shema, which we're going to have next Shabbos, Tefillah, which we'll have in 2 weeks' time, Mezuzah, which is in Parshas Ekev, and Gittin and Kiddushin, Yibim Chalitza, Dine Edus, Hazama, Malkus, V'od V'od. He says these are mitzvahs that apply L'chol Esu, L'chol Zman. They represent the very fabric of Jewish life, of issues, of a marriage relationship. They represent punishment. They represent testimony. They represent what we put on our house and how we pray to God on a daily basis. I mean, these are so fundamental. How can Tosfos say that there are no chidushim in the last of the five books? The aflizman abayis, he says, although I have to agree that there are some mitzvahs in Sefer Dvarim, Mishnah Torah, which are time limited because they depend upon the base hamigdash. For example, dini melech, we only appoint a king at the time of the binyan abayis, or for example, the mitzvah molchama. And we may need the Urim V'Tumim in order to go out to Melchama. Please join us. V'chiyuv Limud Torah. He says, but what about the mitzvah of Limud Torah? That doesn't depend upon the Beis HaMikdash to teach others. Emunah B'chol Rega V'Rega is also incorporated in Kriyat Shema. Ein Shayach Lomar, if you want to underline this, this is the like the bottom line of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He says, it's not Shayach to say Shurak Chozer V'Shonah, that this is simply a repetition. And now, Rav Moshe makes a kind of an attempt to try to figure out if we can make sense out of Tosfos. Tosfos says there's nothing new in Sefer Dvarim.
What was Rav Shimshon Peres shot in Tosfos? This is the question after.
Well, again, Rav Shimshon doesn't offer a shot in Tosfos. Rav Moshe makes it even worse because he says there are 200 mitzvahs that are appearing for the first time, Boker Tov, in Sefer Dvarim. He says, "Ulay akavana." I mean, again, this is a very a lame kind of approach, but try to make some sense out of Tosfos. The Im Zachu Yisrael, he says that history took a turn because of the Chet HaEgel, the Chet HaMaraglim. If not for those two major sins, then Hayunuchnasim liAretz Miyad, v'lo Hoysa HaTorah Nechlekes El Larbach Umashim. All of the Torah would be given in four chumashim and would have terminated at the Yarden, at the end of Bamidbar, when they're about to enter into Eretz Yisrael, because they didn't sin and they would have been given everything. But chol mitzvah shenemar b'mishneh Torah, and then had they not sinned, in theory, all the mitzvahs that are given in Mishneh Torah, meaning in Sefer Devarim, would have already been incorporated in the four chumashim, and that would have been given as one body at Har Sinai. But again, Mishneh Torah is given by, as we said before, is given in the language of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, so that's post-Har Sinai. And in order to substantiate this approach, he quotes the Gemara in Darim, Il mole chatu Yisrael, had they not sinned, lo nitan lehem elachamishei chumshei Torah v'sefer Yoshua bilvat. That they wouldn't have needed all of Tanakh. They would have needed just the five books and the book of Yoshua to conquer the land.
Wait, doesn't that contradict not having Sefer Devarim?
Right. No, what he means by the Gemara Nedarim, he just wants to show you that the Gemara Nedarim is a proof positive that what derailed the original divine program or plan is the fact that we did sins, right? Il mole chatu Yisrael. Again, you're right. Ben, you were the one who was speaking, right? Yeah, Ben is right that the Gemara itself is talking about five chumashim. Rav Moshe is saying in Tosfos that we could have collapsed the five into four. That's because the fifth chumash was left as a musa shmuz for Moshe to give at the end of his life, but that's only in the footsteps, in the aftermath of the crimes that the Jewish people had implemented. But where do you have such a chutzpah, says Rav Moshe, to say that the Torah could have been condensed and all the mitzvahs could have been collapsed into four? He says from the fact that all of Tanakh could have been commenced, in this case into Chamisha Chumshei Pos Yoshua, but that was upset and undermined by the fact that Bnei Yisrael Chatu. So he says, Lachem Mashenechlak Od Sefer Chamishi, in our context, meaning the Tosfos and Gittin, that why was a fifth book added? He says, Shahaya Bezebishvila Tochacha, because it was a critical moment in the aftermath of those two calamitous sins for Moshe Rabbeinu to give chastisement. Is Nitztavash Yomel and Mitzvahs Elu? Why? Because some of these mitzvahs are so fundamental that in the context of Moshe's chastisement against the Jewish people, his harangue, you know, his harsh words of Musar, these ikrim, these fundamental mitzvahs, had to be integrated into Sefer Dvarim. So basically it comes out, according to Rav Moshe, that if we want to ask the question, why were certain mitzvahs left, and according to Rav Moshe the number is 200, left for the fifth Sefer, that's because even though those mitzvahs could have been given easily in the first four, and it could have been incorporated into the first four, there was no need for a fifth, but once there was a need for a fifth, and what generated that need is the need for tochacha in the aftermath of those two sins. At that point, Moshe Rabbeinu chose those mitzvahs that he would have to present to them, that would give them fundamentals of belief, that would give them the strength, that would embellish the tochacha. A lot of it, he says, of the strength they get from Shiras Hazinu at the end of Sefer Dvarim. So now we can, it's very fascinating, according to Rav Moshe, he really gives us an eye-opener as to how to analyze and answer the question, why were these mitzvos that appear for the first time in Sefer Dvarim left out of the first four Sfarim? A fascinating question, you know, the rational mind, you know, wants to get a, you know, wrap our brains around this. Why leave this mitzvos when, especially in the light of Rav Moshe, that's how he interprets Tosfos, they could have all been incorporated into the first four. And now, Rav Moshe is giving you an overarching rule, and now you have to go see how to apply it in each case. And that rule is that those mitzvos had to be integrated into the framework of tochacha. And now we have to go through all 200 mitzvahs and see what's the relation between those mitzvahs and tochacha. Why is it that for the first 413, Moshe Rabbeinu didn't need to delay and wait till the tochacha, and yet these 200 mitzvahs he waited until the tochacha so that he can inject them into the framework of tochacha?
Can I just ask one question?
Yeah.
So if we were to have only four svarim, all the Targum Yisroel would still be in them, but they wouldn't be embellished with the Tochacha.
Correct, they would be collapsed in the Tochacha because Bnei Yisrael didn't sin those two terrible sins, mammoth sins, and therefore there's no need for the Tochacha of Moshe. Once the need for Tochacha came about, Moshe Rabbeinu made a deliberate decision to take a chunk of mitzvahs, a bulk of mitzvahs, and remove them from the first four Sfarim and put them into the fifth Sfarim of Eilad Dvar Asher Dibur Moshe. And again, as radical as this is, we can only empathize with Rav Moshe, because again, when you see something like this, which is so revolutionary, you know, you're playing with some very, very heavy issues over here. You know, why were these mitzvahs left out of the first four chumashim? You know, it takes what we call breiter pleitzes. You know, a lot of chutzpah to answer a question like that. You know, a giant like Rav Moshe could get away with this. And he's only doing it in order to make some sense out of Tosfos, because on the one hand, Tosfos says that there's no repetition in Sefer Devarim. And on the other hand, we know that there are 200 mitzvahs that are given in Sefer Devarim, says Rav Moshe, for the first time. How do you reconcile those two? It's a head-on collision. So if you empathize with Rav Moshe, what he's saying is, I think maybe what Tosfos means is that in theory, it could have been that all 613 mitzvahs were incorporated into the first four Sfarim, and that Moshe would not have to repeat anything. But now, Council of Moshe Menuhin makes the following calculation. And of course it gets the okay from the commander-in-chief. And that is that we're going to take certain mitzvahs, a whole chunk of mitzvahs, a bulk of mitzvahs, and we're going to shift them from the first four Sfarim to the fifth Sefer, because the purpose of the fifth Sefer and its agenda is to rebuke the people. Within the context of that rebuke, we need those mitzvahs. This is the critical moment. You know, Rashi says at the beginning of Sefer Dvarim that Moshe Rabbeinu waited until the end of his life to rebuke the people of Israel. And you get the impression that that moment in Moshe Rabbeinu's life was precipitous. You know, that was a very unique moment in which he gathered the people together and he could make a tremendous impact on their souls. What was unique about that moment? Some say it's because the people were ready to go into Israel. Others say because Moshe had reached at that level the epitome of the apex of his love for the people of Israel. And if you want to rebuke somebody, you have to rebuke them mitoch ahava, from a state of love. But whatever it is, whatever explanation you accept, the bottom line is that there was a very, very special moment here for Tochacha, for giving Bnei Yisrael chizuk. And you know, in the yeshiva world, you know, the mashgiach gives Tochacha, he gives Muslim. You know, we came to the point in Jewish history where I think the Rebbeim are more afraid of the Talmidim than the other way around. So, you know, to get a Baal Musa, you know, a Mashkiach who's willing to really lace it into you, you know, and give you, you know, tell you like it is, and point to you and say you're not living up to this, you know, your potential. You know, it's rare today. You know, where's the fire and brimstone? So we should really pattern ourselves after Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu, again, there are various... Rashi says he alludes, he's not explicit, he doesn't want to embarrass the people, and so forth. So there are a lot of rules and regulations of Tochacha. We could write a sefer called Hilchos Tochacha, in which we would pattern ourselves after Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu made the deliberate decision, according to Rabbi Moshe Feinstein, when he gave this Tochacha, to integrate a whole body, a whole corpus of mitzvahs, 200 mitzvahs, into the framework of that Tochacha, in order to strengthen the Jewish people and their commitment to Torah, to Hashem, to Amunah, and to mitzvahs. Is Memela at the end of this paragraph where Moshe says, Nikru gam ha-mitzvah shelo nichtavu b'loshan chozer v'shon. Tosfos uses the word repetition, right? That's Mishnah Torah, means to repeat, even though these are mitzvahs that were never given in the first four. Mishum de nichtavu b'mishnah Torah. In other words, Mishnah Torah takes on that status. It's Mishnah Torah, and any mitzvah that's given in that context could be considered Chozer V'Shone. Mitam Atzivu Yishem Moshe Yachzor V'Yishana Osam V'Tov Tvorov B'Krisas HaBris HaSheni D'Arvas Moav. In other words, the bris that we enter into at the end of Moshe Rabbeinu's career is called the bris of Arvas Moav, and Moshe Rabbeinu integrates these 200 mitzvahs into that bris in the context of his Tochacha, and that's called Chozer V'Shone. Because again, these mitzvahs really are part of the Torah itself. They're no different than any other part of the 613. And all the mitzvahs were given to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai. But these mitzvahs Moshe Rabbeinu chose to emphasize in the context of his castigation, his Tochacha, and when? At the time of Arvos Moav, that bris. Now I want to study with you a comment in the Gemara in Yevamos. And maybe we'll come back to the Gemara Megillah a little bit later. There's something called smuchin. Smuchin means that in the Torah, if you have two things that are written one near the other, contiguous, then you can equate the two and derive conclusions one from the other. However, I have to tell you this, not everybody agreed to this principle of Smuchin. In fact, Rabbi Yehuda, the great Tanna Rabbi Yehuda, said, Ein darshin Smuchin. The fact that the Torah put something near the other may have a million explanations, and we may not know those explanations, but we cannot derive conclusions and halachas from Smuchin, except in Mishneh Torah. Mishneh Torah, Sefer Dvarim, is the only Chumash in which Rabbi Yehuda agrees that Darshim Smuchin. And that's what it says over here. Afilu leman delo darish Smuchin. The Gemara in Yevamah says, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, who doesn't interpret and derive conclusions from Smuchin, the Mishneh Torah darish. To Rabbi Yehuda v'alma lo darish, ube Mishneh Torah darish. So now the question is why? Why is it that Rabbi Yehuda agrees to the Chachamim that in the case of Mishneh Torah we darshin Smuchin? Okay, so that's what we wanna study now. Now, in order to study this, we're going to try to take what I call a time machine back 2.5 centuries in time. And we're going to try to sit in a room together with two great giants of that period of time that had a dialogue. And that's the Vilna Gaon and his Talmud, the Dumna Magid. Now, the Dumna Magid authored a book called Oel Moshe. And I photocopied here large chunks of the old Moshe, which you'll see on the bottom of your page, going on to the next side of the page for those who have the copy. He says the following. The Medrash tells us that Achar Bo Moshe vi Aaron el Paro, Paro Asa Su'uda Biyom Ginusin Shalo, Paro breaks out with a joyous celebration. It's a birthday party. And who does he invite to the birthday party? Malachim, Rabim, great kings, you know, dignitaries, Ba'ataros, you know, they're wearing their crowns. It's supposed to have been a very dramatic scene. Ve'ichniu lefanav. And they accepted Paro, like Paro was the most important, most powerful leader of the entire world at that time. So they subjugated themselves. Bo avadav v'omrlo. And now in the middle of this celebration, two of Paro's servants interfere, and they tell him, you know what? Somebody's at the door over here. Now, imagine the scene. You know, all the greats and the giants of the dignitaries of the world are there. Shneis Kenan. Two Alta Yidden, two old Jews. Omdim ala Pesach. And they're standing at the door.
Shulach.
Yeah, two Mishulach, maybe. I don't know. So, what happens, according to the Chazal, Paro says, you know, like, this is very important. Imagine in the middle of this celebration. And it says, Vayavo, Moshe and Aaron come in front of Paro. And what do they say to Paro? Shlacha mi, you know, send my people out. Velo etru b'toros, you know, they were not wearing any sort of, costumes or uniforms of the dignitaries of the world. Velo pele. This doesn't make any sense. Echlo tzivo amnisam. Paro, with all his power, he should say, put these two Jews to death. Take it immediately. Allah elbon agadol, that they come in the chutzpah, break into my celebration. They're not even wearing crowns. They're not dignitaries. How did it happen? So the Dumna Magid suggests a radical pshat. Why is it that when Moshe and Aaron come in, Paro starts sittering? You know, he starts shaking. He says, "Aval hu adav shamar ki miyad bir oso Moshe omedu medaber lefanov." You see, Paro recognized Moshe from Moshe's early childhood, and he knew that Moshe had one physical handicap. What was that? He was a kvadpeh, right? He was not able to speak, and yet Paro sees Moshe coming in. Omed umedaber lefano, and Moshe is speaking in front of Paros, Fasov Boru Milolo, and he's speaking very clearly. And he's saying, Ko Amar Hashem, Shlach Es Ami V'Yavduni. And he's quoting God as saying, send my people. Oh boy. At this point, Paro takes a, what do we call it, a double take. Nirta, he becomes shooken up. Nafal Olav Pachad V'Ra'ad. He's overtaken by fear. Ki Alo Yadu Es Moshe Shehu Kvad Peh. They knew that Moshe was not able to speak. And Yochel Udabe V'Ata, now, Hu Medabe B'Tzachus. He's speaking very clearly, very dramatically, demanding that we send the people out. Nispoel B'Atzmo L'Ma'ot. Paro was taken by this, and he saw that something is going on over here. Now, the Dubna Magid wants to suggest that if we do a comparison, very interesting footnote that the Dubna Magid adds, a compare and contrast between Moshe Rabbeinu, between Paro and Bilam, he says, Zeyi Taral, Paro has one up on Bilam, Harasha. Because what happens? The donkey opens up its mouth, and there could be no greater proof that Pasach Hashem is Piyav Atedaber in Bilam, that God opened up the mouth of this mule and the mule is speaking. Bilam Heshiv Bidvarim, and Bilam responds, enters into a whole dialogue, and he yells at the Asan, El Asan, Lon Ispail. No, it's piracy. He's not impressed. Miuma at all. The Amrlo Lo Anochi Asoncha, and this donkey tries to say, wait a minute, I'm your loyal this. Hahaskein Haskanti, I never put you into danger, I never crossed your Klomar. Echlo Tosin Limcha, why don't you pay attention? I'll inyan nifla kazeh. Imagine if the horse, then when I was a kid it was Mr. Ed, I don't know if anybody ever heard of him, but you know, the horse is talking to its rider, he says, but Bilam is not impressed. He is a Zodon Libo. He is an outright evil criminal. Faritzus Nafsho. He says he couldn't care less. Vizchazik, and he strengthens his evil. Lebilti mispoil mi uma keneged ziknei moav ziknei midjon. He says, no, I'll try to curse the Jewish people. Please, you know, hopefully I'll be able to do this and achieve this goal. And he's not mispoil when the Ason opens his mouth. At least you can give credit to Paro where credit is due. That at least when Moshe Rabbeinu opens up his mouth and he's able to speak, that's something that impresses Paro. And he disturbs this great party with all the dignitaries. Zel v'anochi eya impicha. Hashem said to Moshe back at the snare, "I will be with your mouth." Ki Hakadosh Baruch Hu rotzal li'ames hadvarav li'ein kol. Hakadosh Baruch Hu says, "I'm going to make sure that everyone understands that what you say, Moshe Benu, is truth." Ki ein lo koach hadibu v'ukvad peh ukvad lashon. That even though, despite the fact that Moshe doesn't have the capacity to speak, yet when he's saying words here, it's crystal clear. Kasher hayu b'daber b'shem Hashem, since he's bringing the word of God, he's a shliach of Hashem, sfasov borer minalo, he's crystal clear in his speech. Vayu medaber kahogen, and he speaks healthy and the right way. V'im kein, and therefore roi l'kulam, it's roi kulam, everybody observed, all the spectators were amazed, and they understood Shakadosh Baruch Hu midaber mitoch grono shel Moshe, that it's really not Moshe who's speaking, but God is speaking through the vocal cords of Moshe. Vizel, and that's what Hashem told Moshe back at the snare. Vanochi eya impicha hainu ani biatzmi adaber migroncha. God says, I will speak from your throat. Ukemaimra midrash. Mora ani dvarim l'tov picha ke mora dvarim l'grono b'yeis dibro b'shlichus shal kodesh boh. Now all this is an introduction to the dialogue between the Talmud, the Dubna Magid, and his Rebbe. Sha'alti esp mori v'rabi hu rabbeinu hakodosh hagon hachosid morenu harav elio mivilna zecher tzadik livroch. So at this point his Rebbe was already gone, and now the Dubna Magid is relating a conversation that he had with his Rebbe. I asked my Rebbe, the Gaon, the following question. Ma'avdel ben Torah Kedosha, what's the difference between the first four Sfarim of Chumash, ubein Mishneh Torah, and the fifth Chumash? The Omar Li, and he responded to me the following: Ki harba hasfarim arishonim, the first four sfarim, hayu nishmoim, they were heard by the Jewish people, mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu bi'atzmo, it was God who was speaking in the first four sfarim, derech grono shel Moshe, through the voice of Moshe. The Moshe was just a conduit, if you will, you know, making the movements, but it was really Hashem's voice that came through the Goron, the throat of Moshe. Lo kein Sefer Dvarim, the Goron told me that Sefer Dvarim has a unique status. Hoy Yisrael shomim es divrei ha-sefer hazeh k'moshe shomu mishar divrei ha-nevim. Just like every prophet came to the people and shared with them, transmitted the word of Hashem, so too the fifth book was transmitted by the Navi Moshe to the people of Israel. Asher Acher Moshe, the Nevi'im that came after Moshe. Asher Kodesh Baruch Hu Omer La Navi Ayom. For example, it could be that the prophecy of any Navi was received today. Uliyom Machar, and tomorrow the Navi fulfills his agency, Vishmiya Li Ozen Shal Yisrael, and he comes to the ears of Israel and he shares with them what he heard in his Nevuah. V'im Kain, B'eis Asher Diber HaNovi Ala Am, tomorrow when the Novi transmits the message of God, Kfar Hoya Netak Mimenu HaDiber Eloki, he's no longer at that moment hearing the voice of God. V'kein Hoya Sefer HaDvarim, first Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to the people of Israel, V'nishmel Yisrael Mipi Moshe Rabbeinu Atzmo, and at that moment in time, they were hearing the Nevuah from Moshe Rabbeinu, but not directly from Hashem. So again, just like every classical Nevuah, the people receive the transmission from the Navi, but it's not that they're hearing the voice of Hashem. So too, with regard to Sefer Dvarim, Moshe Rabbeinu is being Mashmiya, he's speaking to Bnei Yisrael, telling them over the transmitting them the Sefer Dvarim. They're hearing it from Moshe in the same way that every time they hear from a Navi a transmission, but they're not directly connected to the voice of Hashem. Not so the first four Svarim, where the people get it straight from Hashem's voice. And this is an amazing chiddush, which the Dubna Magid claims that he heard it from his Rebbe, the Gaon Mivilna. And he goes on to say that perhaps that's what the Medrash means. If you take a look here, I put the Medrash here on the left bottom column. And the Medrash wants to know, you know, Moshe Rabbeinu comes and he says to Hashem, Lo ish dvar manochi, I'm not a man of speech. And the Pasuk in Mishle says, what time is it? It's 11:45? Oh, we'll finish up soon. The Pasuk in Mishle says, Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim.
No one's rushing you.
What do you say?
No one's rushing you.
No one's rushing? Okay, no, I have a shir in Gemara that I want to get to, so. In any event, so what is this Pasuk in Mishle telling me? So the word Eitz Chaim, that phrase, the Medrash tells me, is a reference to Torah. That's not a chiddush, because Eitz Chaim Hilamat Zikim Ba. What is Marpe Lashon? What is the health, so to speak, of the tongue? What does that have to do with the Lashon of Torah, of Eitz Chaim Hi? So the Dubna Magid says that based on what he heard from the Gaon, he begins to understand the deeper meaning of this Medrash. Marpe Lashon Eitz Chaim. This is a reference to Moshe Rabbeinu. And the Medrash says the following. This is the bottom left, and again the bottom right. You know, some the Medrash in its original, and then we go back to the Dubna Magid. Hare Moshe ad shelo zocha l'Torah, before Moshe Rabbeinu receives the Torah, lo ish dvar manochi, I can't speak. Kevan she zocha l'Torah, says the Medrash, nisrape l'shono, v'hischil l'daber dvarim. So when Moshe receives the Torah, his handicap is completely healed. What does that mean? Says the Dubna Magid, Hischil Ledaber Dvarim Shenemar. It's a reference to the beginning of Eile Dvarim Ashadibar Moshe. Ki Mischila Hoya HaHechrech Shoya Moshe Kvad Peh. Wow, this is my mind. Moshe Rabbeinu had to have this handicap. Up until when? Up until Sefer Dvarim. At Sefer Dvarim, at that juncture and onwards, then we apply the principle of Marpe Loshon Eitz Chaim Nisrape Lishono Shal Moshe Vehiskel Adabit Von. My high. Why is it that Moshe Rabbeinu has to be a Kvad Peh for the first four Sfarim? So the Jewish people would understand the Yisbarlem and it would be clear to them. We're on the top of the left column now. That any word that came out of Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth with its beauty and its sweetness, they're coming straight, these words are coming straight from Hashem. It's not that the speaker is the one who couches it in beautiful, dramatic language. And how do they know that? How do they know that this speech was coming directly from Hashem? Because Moshe can't speak. So as long as Moshe Rabbeinu has to transmit the Torah straight from Hashem, it means that God is speaking through the Gaon of Moshe, as we said in the first four books. That's how the Gaon understands it. Is then Moshe Rabbeinu has to be a Kvad Peh, so it would be clear, and it would be absolutely, you know, the evidence is crystal clear that anything that they're hearing straight from Hashem. That applies up to, but not beyond, the fifth book. Aval Ata now, when Moshe Rabbeinu is giving them the Mishnah Torah, Shebah Moshe Lahachzir HaTorah Pam Shenis, to repeat the Torah, as we said before, according to Rav Moshe, meaning to give the Tochacha and then repeat those parts of the Torah that are relevant to the Tochacha. But it's Moshe Rabbeinu who's speaking, just like any Navi who transmits the word of Hashem to the people. At this point, Kvar Nimtaku Advarim V'Nismasmu V'Yosei Shom Amru, it's enough that Moshe Rabbeinu speaks directly to the people. He no longer has to be a Kvad Peh. You see that this whole Kvad Peh business is all part of a miraculous, supernatural, divine plan. And therefore, the words are coming straight from Moshe Rabbeinu. And therefore, Ata, at this point, there's no longer a reason, no longer justification for Moshe Rabbeinu being a Kvad Peh. Lo tzorech u'nisrafi l'shono. If there's no need for him to be handicapped, then let him be healthy. V'hiskel adaber dvarim shenemra elu advarim asher diber Moshe. That's the first pasuk in the book of Dvarim. Haynu shumedaber karoi. V'atam ki heimim advarim asher diber Moshe kvar al b'nei Yisrael. Again, all of the Torah according to Rav Moshe could have been given already, and he received it all at our Sinai, but now he's going to repeat certain definite or single out certain deliberately choosing certain parts of the Torah, and therefore it could come directly. Now Rabosai, if you believe what we just read, then the Dubna Magid heard from the Vilna Gaon directly, as a Talmud hears from his Rebbe, that Moshe Rabbeinu spoke to Bnei Yisrael in clear-cut, healthy language, starting with Sefer Dvarim. But the first four books, it was what Bnei Yisrael heard was the voice of Hashem. Now, there's a commentary on the Ohel Moshe, the Dubna Magid, and it's called Yerios HaOhel. You know, the Dubna Magid called it an Ohel because the Torah is always compared to an Ohel, to a tent, right? And now the tent has Yerios. It has, how do you translate Yerios? You know, the curtains of the Ohel. So I'm not sure who wrote this, but he writes the following. Omar HaKosev, Iyanti Baderes Elios Al Rabbeinu HaKadosh Al HaTorah. I look through all the writings of the Gaon of Vilna on the Torah. It's called Aderes Eliyahu. V'lo matzasi shama advar ma'ela. And I don't find it. How could it be that the Gaon came up with this chiddush as his own, you know, unique insight, and he didn't incorporate it into his great magnum opus on Chumash that we study so carefully? Asher shama mori v'rabi zal mipi ha-kadosh? Our Rebbe, meaning the Dubna Magid, heard this from the Gaon, and the Gaon himself omitted it? What's going on? So he suggests the following. Now again, I can't help you with this, you'll have to help me. But he writes, Abu Matsasi es advar ma'ele li echad kadosh. Again, it says here, in the Dubna Magid, that which kadosh, which holy person taught him this? It was the Gaon of Vilna. I found it in the words of a different Kadosh, a different holy giant. V'hu divrei ha-maral mi prag zecher tzadik v'kodesh l'brom. Now keep in mind, Rabbi, the maral mi prag was about a century and a half before the Gaon. 150 years before the Gaon. U'b'sefer tiferes Yisrael, one of the great works of the maral. The maral is, you know, is written extensively. It's called the Tiferes Yisrael. And all this, the Maral writes to explain a Gemara in Megillah. So that was the Gemara Megillah that we skipped here on page 1. That Gemara says, Amar Abaye, let's say, Klolos Shebetoris Kodem, a Klolos Shebetoris Torah Posek. That when we read the Tochacha, any sort of Klolos, then the law is that the Balkori is not allowed to stop in the middle. Because we want to get it over real quick, all these Klolos. So you read it in one fell swoop without taking any pause. But Abai says that there are klolos that are written in, you know, Hagrizim Harevel in Sefer Devarim, and there he says you're allowed to be mafsik. My time, well, what's the difference? Halol b'lashon rabim amuros, and it's mipi agvura moron. V'halol b'lashon yochid amuros u'moshe mipi atzmo om. That all the klolos that incorporate into the first four books of Moses, like the end of Vayikra, or those klolos, so that's mipi agvura, and that's b'loshen rab. However, if we look in Sefer Dvarim, that's b'loshen yachid, and it's mipi Moshe, and Moshe speaking in the singular. Says the Maral Miprag, which again you can look either on page 3, which I think you have, or you could look here on page 2, you know, it's pretty much the same. I'm going to read it from page 2, but it's, you could go through it in the original. Maybe we don't have time to do that, but he says the following. Al-Maimer Chazal ki eimaf sikin b'klolos, Omer Abay Loshon ab'klolos shebetoros kohanim, ab'klolos shebemishnit Torah. So as far as Sefer Vayikra is concerned, you're not allowed to be mafsik, but in Sefer Dvar mafsikin, the emekach klu, my time halol mipi HaKadosh Baruch Hu nemru, v'halol Moshe mipi atzmo amor. Ratzol lomar, what does that mean? Ki ko ha-Torah kula haya Hashem Yisparach nosein ha-dibur b'piv shel Moshe. Again, it's 150 years before the God. So the words of God are coming through the vocal cords of Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Kosev, and that's what the pasuk means when it says Moshe Yedaber Velokim Yanenu Bekol. Okay, you have to see how he sees it in that pasuk. But Elokim Yanenu Bekol means that it's really the voice of Hashem that's coming through Moshe. Avol b'Mishneh Torah Hayu Moshe Medaber Miatzmo. For who Ashliach She Medaber Kasher Tzivolo Hamishalech. And it's God commanded him to go ahead and give this rebuke to Bnei Israel. And Moshe becomes the agent of God, and he does it, but it's mipi atzmo. He himself is speaking, as a shliach always speaks. V'zeh mipi atzman omaran, shalo hoya Hashem Yisrael nosein hadibur b'fiv. But it wasn't in the mouth of Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, by the way, this interpretation of the Maral, which is brought down here in the Tiferes Yisrael, has tremendous implications. And the Maral Miprag does an entire study of the discrepancies between the first set of Aseres HaDibros, which are in Parshas Yisro, in Sefer Shmos, and the second set, which is in Parshas Vayeschanan and Sefer Dvarim. And he shows you that all these discrepancies emanate from this very, very fundamental point, that the first four books came from Hashem, he's the speaker, whereas the fifth one is Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking. And the difference between Lashon Rabim and Lashon Yochid. And it's fascinating to see how linguistic, you know, the linguistic analysis of the Maral Miprag, of the various discrepancies, if you will, between the two. And he writes here, the Arios HaOel, Ra'a zeh matzasi b'bi'uro shenitpas ki ha'psukim rishonim shel chamesh sifrei ha-Torah Heim Romzim Al HaMenorah. This is interesting, that if you go through the first five words of each of the five books, you'll end up with the menorah. The menorah means the light of the Torah. Right? So he says, for example, in Breishis, it says, Breishis Bar Lekimus HaShemayim Ves HaOretz. So you count the words, it comes to seven.
The first pasuk.
So seven words in the first pasuk. That number seven is keneged the kaneh hamenorah, right? The what do they call the stem? No, the not stem.
Branches
of the menorah. Okay. And then he says, you take a look at the first pasuk in Shmos, El Shmos Bnei Yisrael Sheyotzu Mitzrayimah, you count 11 words. And that, those are the 11 kaftorim. And then if you look in Vayikra, the first pasuk is comprised of 9 words, which is connected to the 9 prachim. So we have the kaftorim and the prachim. And then in Bamidbar, you have 17 words in the first pasuk. Okay, and then there's something called Ima Kolel. Okay, that's complicated, and it comes out to 18, and that's connected the 18 tfachim, the size, the height of the menorah. And he says in Elu Dvarim, you'll come up with 22 letters connected the 22 gvim. Vanishamati, he says Mishmo Shezeh Sheromaz. That's the indication of the allusion of the Medrash. Alamaimer Vayomer Lekim Yehi Or Hado Tichsiv Psach Dvarcha. Open your mouth, Yoyer Dvarecha, and your words will become absolutely light. Will illuminate the world. Haratzim Vezel Rames Al Pesach Divrei Torah. Right, Psach Dvarecha means open each one of the 5 Chumashim, and those first 5 Psukim, right, relative respective to each one of the 5 books, will be Yair, will give light, the light of the menorah. Okay. Now, the last thing I wanted to do with
where
you...
Where does Smichas Parshas fit in here?
Oh, so now we have to come back to Smichas Parshas. Why is it that in the case of Sefer Mishneh Torah, Rabbi Yehuda agrees that we have a drash of Smichas Parshas? And the answer is because in Sefer Dvarim, where Moshe is composing the Tochacha, he's deliberate about all the choice of mitzvahs. In other words, he's organizing it in a deliberate way, and for what purpose? So that we should derive conclusions from the contiguity of 2 different mitzvahs. Whereas in the rest of the Torah, we don't know why Hashem might have put this mitzvah before or after the other mitzvah. So if you take a look in back to Yevamos, which was that was the sugya of Smuchin, you'll see that on the side of the page in the Talmud, the what's called the Vilna Shas, they print something called Hagos Me'arav Mirunchenberg. So he was a German Jew, and he writes the following. He says, "Dafka b'Mishneh Torah darish." Why is it that only a Mishneh Torah of Yehuda is darshening? V'lo b'chala Torah kula. Taima mishum dechala Torah mipi agvura nemra v'ein muktam u'muuchar. In other words, we don't know the system or the sequence, the progression of psukim and words and mitzvahs in the Torah. It's all mipi agvura. Avol Moshe, see there b'mishneh Torah parsha liachar parsha. You have it?
Where are you reading?
On page 3. First source on page 3.
Uh-huh.
You have that? And the last line is he says, lo sidr el ladrash. And the reason why Moshe Rabbeinu was deliberate about the sequence is in order to give us those drashos, which are called smuchim. In the case of the rest of the Torah, which comes from Mipi Agvura. But again, you see again that this concept, whether it's the Gaon who said it, whether it's the Maharal Miprag who said it, whether it's the Maharav Mirunchenberg who lived a couple of centuries ago, they all seem to say that there's a fundamental difference between the first 4 Chumashim and the 5th Chumash. And I discussed this once with a friend of mine. I don't know if you know Rabbi Yitzhak Shurin, if anybody...
Sure.
You know Rabbi Shurin? He's my good buddy. I mean, a lot of people say that about Rabbi Shurin, but I'm the real one. No, I'm just kidding. Yeah. So Rabbi Shurin agreed with me that and he based himself on the Abarbanel. I didn't see the Abarbanel, but that there is a difference between the language of Sefer Dvarim and the language of the other Sifrei Torah. And now we see it here clearly, that Moshe Rabbeinu is speaking in the first person. And not only that, it's Moshe Rabbeinu without a kvad peh. He's no longer handicapped, and it's no longer Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Ronos Shel Moshe. That's why we can darshan smuchim in Mishneh Torah. Not only that, it's since it's the klolos are coming from Moshe Rabbeinu's mouth, we can make a hefsek in the klolos. So you see that the various dinim that apply to Mishneh Torah. Again, even though Tosfos, as we started in Masechta Gittin, says something which makes no sense at the face of it, that Mishnah Torah is just a repetition of what we already have gotten in the first four. That remains very difficult. We tried to offer Rav Moshe's explanation. And finally, I just wanted to complete our discussion for today, although this is just, we're not even scratching the surface here, but the Shem Mishmuel. Does anybody know who the Shem Mishmuel was?
Sure.
The Sukkachover. He was the Sukkachover Rebbe. His father was the Avnei Nezer. And he writes something amazing. He says, Chazal say, why does it say Oz Yashir Moshe Avnei Yisrael? That the people will sing. What do you mean they will sing? It should have said Oz Sharu. You know, Sharu, that Yashir in the plural, in the future tense. So Rashi says the reason why it's in the future tense is because the people of Israel, already at the time that they beheld the great miracle of Kriyas Yamsut, they already had in mind the Olam B'Liban, they had already planned to sing the Shira. The Yesh Lahavin, he says, why did the Torah have to tell me that? Lama Nichtav Klal, why do we have to know? Why is this an important piece of information? Sha'ola B'Liban, that already at that time they came to the conclusion that they would sing the Shira. Devadai Einod of Osel and Masha'ola B'Libo. Of course, a person does what he decided to do. And what would be lacking, he said, if the Torah would have just said, Oz Sharu B'nei Yisrael, that they sang the song of Shira Sayam. V'nira, he says, Dehine Zeh Pele, Mashakulam Kivnu B'loshan Echad. How do we understand? See, I always thought that the Shira was responsive reading, that it was really Moshe Rabbeinu who was saying every paragraph. But that's true for Miriam, not true for Moshe. In the case of Moshe, all the people spontaneously, in one unison, they recited the Shira. How's that possible? He says it's only possible b'derech nevuah, if they had some sort of prophetic revelation. But he says not only that, he doesn't believe that it's possible to justify this through nevuah, because even in nevuah we have a very famous principle that ein shnei nevi'im misnabdim misimlon echad. You'll never find that two different prophets will say the exact same thing. Each prophet has his own unique way of expressing and translating the vision into words. And therefore, he says, most of alim shesnabi b'loshin zadover. Okay, that's not for us. He says the following. Hine, heim amru ze keli ve'anvehu. He says, wait a second, Chazal say that every Navi introduces his Nevuah by saying, Ko Amar Hashem. That's the key phrase. The only exception is Moshe Rabbeinu, who says Zeh, like Zeh HaDavar. You will not find Zeh HaDavar with regard to anyone except for Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet here, at the beginning of the Shira, Zeh Keli V'Anveil. That's unbelievable. That's not a regular Nevuah. That's Nevuah's Moshe Rabbeinu. So basically, the Sukkachover is pointing out that there are two reasons why we cannot identify the Shira as classical Nevuah. Number one, because in classical Nevuah, two Nevi'im do not use the same expression. And number two, because Zeh Keli Aveir is totally inappropriate for classical Nevuah. It's unique for Moshe Rabbeinu's Nevuah. The answer to this is the following. That the Shira is Ke'ein Lasha Nevuas Moshe. It's like the Darga of Nevuas Moshe. K'moshe b'Moshe ha'isa Shechina medaberes mito grono. What's unique about Moshe's Nevuah? It's the Shechina that's speaking. Kein Nira, again, this is a revolution of sorts. Sha'isa Shira is zos b'chol Yisrael. That the Shechina ha'isa medaberes mito grono. And he says that that's the only way you can understand how they all spontaneously recited the same identical Shechina, and that there were no two different styles amongst them at all, and that this Nevuah was with the word Zeh. And he says, now I can understand a very strange Gemara in Brachos and Ksuvis. The Gemara says that even the fetus in its mother's womb recited Shira. He says, I don't understand. The fetus doesn't have Klei Adibur. They don't have the capacity to speak. And not only that, if it was Nevuah in a classical sense, Lo Yaspik She Yisnavin Misha Emlo Klei Adibur, Nevuah always has to be expressed through the vocal cords, the lips, the mouth, and so forth and so on. And he has a psikta about Amos, that Amos says, V'lohoy Yochel Afarish Os Shin. Rashi points out in Amos, based on a psikta, that Amos couldn't pronounce a shin. Al Kain Omar Gamkin Hanavua Ubolos Bemakum Ubolish. Instead of saying Ubolish, he said Ubolish. Since he couldn't pronounce the Shin, he said Ubolish. He says, Hare, what we see clearly is Hadibur Hanavui Befi Hanavi. Eino nitan l'shlemus b'li kli adibur. In other words, he has to enunciate each word properly. So how did the fetus say, recite shira? Elavadai shashchina medaberes mitok gronom. That it was really the Shechina that was speaking. And for that, you don't need kli adibur. It's a whole different essential quality, a whole different category. Umashe matzinu b'moshe shoya arals v'asayim. I, Moshe Rabbeinu, was a kvad peh. He didn't have the ability to speak. The answer is v'oreisich asher tedaver b'eshe diber dvar mechonin ani ayem picha do dechsiv anochi ayem picha. And what does it mean? That Hashem puts the words into Moshe's mouth. Harei shashchina medaberes mitol grono. And therefore we don't need the kli adibur of Moshe Rabbeinu. Lefi zeh kol amiras hashira aim liYisrael chelik klal b'amir. And as Bnei Yisrael cannot claim that they wrote the song and the poetry of the shira. Shalohema hayu medabrim rak hashchina. That the shchina is speaking. And therefore, the Shira gets this very, very unique status of Shechina Medaberes Mitoch Gronom, and that answers a whole bunch of questions and a whole bunch of problems. Anyway, Rabbi Moshe, there's a lot more here in the Shem Shmuel, but I see it's already getting late. So let's take a break now, and B'li Neder will get together at 12:15. Do you have the Mar Makomas for the Shia?
I'm actually going to have to do it.
Yeah, good on you go. But we're going to stop here. If you get a chance, take the Shem Yishmul with you, because you'll enjoy the other half of the Shem Yishmul. We don't have a time for it right now. And I have here a copy of the Mar Makomos. If somebody could be kind enough just to photocopy this, that would be. Oh, actually, I have three copies. So, call a Kohen Zocha. And if you don't mind, just pass it on. If you don't mind making copies. Okay then. And here's the other page that I wanted to give you for today. So it's a set of two pages.